The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Before I speak about the homily, I would like to say a special word of commendation to our lectors. The lectors exercise a very important ministry of proclamation, and I know that they are dedicated in preparation. And when they make our proclamation here, it's made in faith, in a very articulate way. So thank you very much to our lectors today and to all the lectors for the dedication of your ministry. And secondly, I'd like to, yes, thank you very much. Sometimes priests speak or lectors speak and you don't know, you can't understand what they're saying. So it's very good, thank you. Secondly, on next Sunday, we will have a deacon who will be ordained on Saturday. Jay is our deacon candidate, and he will preach at the 9:30 Mass on next Sunday. So we'll have a special word of welcome for you, Jay, next Sunday. Now let me look at this great festival of the Spirit as we celebrate Pentecost. In the Jewish tradition in the time of Jesus, there were three great feasts: the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Pentecost was also called the Feast of Weeks, 7 times 7, 49. Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50th, was 50 days after Easter. And the Feast of Weeks was 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. In the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis being the first book, and then we have Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the book of Numbers make up the first five books of the Old Testament, and that's essentially the Torah, the written Torah. And in there, except for Genesis and the other four books, Pentecost is mentioned five times. So it was a very important celebration in the history of the Jewish people. And all adult males were required to go to the temple on these three great feasts and offer their sacrifices. Now that the temple isn't there anymore, the first temple, as you know, was built by Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians, and the second temple, what we call the second temple, was the one there in the time of Jesus. And that was destroyed in the year 70 by the Romans, so there's no temple. All that's left now is what we call the Western Wall, and many of you have been to the wall in our pilgrimages to Jerusalem. That's called the Wailing Wall. That's not a good name for it, but it's called sometimes the Wailing Wall. That's all that's left of the temple. Now, since there is no temple, the mandate regarding all those to come to Jerusalem for these feasts is no longer in force. When it's mentioned in the Old Testament, Pentecost has a different name, Shavuot, the Jews call it. Shavuot is their celebration of the Feast of Weeks. And there it's mentioned but it's not called Pentecost. Pentecost later is a Greek word meaning 50th. In the time of Jesus, all Jerusalem would be full at the time of Pentecost, and therefore when we come to the remembrance in today's readings, we're talking about a huge crowd in Jerusalem. Jesus, in the last chapter of the book of Luke, the very last words in the book of Luke, in chapter 24, Jesus says, "Remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And then move into the book of Acts, first chapter. We have, "Stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be born again in the Spirit, baptized again in the Spirit." And then in chapter 2, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and how they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they go out and they begin to preach. I'd like to just pause over one part of this text, which appears here in chapter 2 from the Acts of the Apostles and makes up our first reading today, which was read very well. The Spirit comes upon them and they begin to speak in a language where everybody hears in his own language. Elamites, Medes, Parthians, Medes, we have people from Mesopotamia, people from all over, and yet they all hear in their own language. Now, there are various interpretations of this. There's one that makes more sense to me than the others, and it's this. When you speak about these various languages, I want to take you back to chapter 11 in the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. And after the flood, the descendants of Noah are one people. They are God's people. They survived the flood, the cleansing of the world, so to speak, and here are God's people. And the book of Genesis, they went into the land of Shinar, where that is disputed, but the land of Shinar. And there they decided, we have one language. We have just one language which unites us. We're going to build a city, and we're going to build a tower to make ourselves look good, and it's going to go all the way to the heavens. It will be a testimony of our oneness, one language, one people. We are God's people. We are the only ones who are God's people, and we'll build a tower all the way to the heavens. And remember what happened. God saw their arrogance. And God had them speak many languages, the Tower of Babel. Remember that? So now they're confused. God is no longer revealed in one language and just in one people. They will go all over the earth speaking many languages, and they will have to learn new languages. They will have to listen. They will have to be open to God's revelation in many languages, in many cultures, in many kinds of people. That's the meaning for me of the tongues here. They all hear in their own language, which is to say, wherever you are in life, you will hear God's revelation in the power of the Spirit through the language that you understand and the place in which you find yourself in life. You're old, you're young, you're married, you're single. Irrespective of your station in life, irrespective of your gender option, if you're an immigrant, you're undocumented, you will hear the voice of God in the power of the Spirit in your own language. Wherever you are in your life, you will hear the voice of there's no longer one language, no longer the arrogance of one people saying, we have God and no one else has the God who is true. What does this mean to us? It means wherever you are in your life, listen, and in the power of the Spirit, you will hear the voice of God blessing you. I have heard it many times in my own life. When I was in sin, or I was struggling, or I failed, I heard the voice of God saying, "But you're my son. Feel forgiven. Feel the healing. You are my beloved son. I bless you and I make you whole." When I was in doubt, anxious, uncertain, I heard the voice of God to say, "I send you the Spirit to calm your inner person, to reassure you, to strengthen you in your search for answers, to make you peaceful not finding the answers." And the power of the Holy Spirit calmed my spirit and made me satisfied not having all the answers. And when I felt blessed in my life, unmerited grace, in great abundance in my life, I might say, I heard the voice of God saying, "You're my beloved son, go out and celebrate your life. Sing, rejoice, share your goodness with others." That's the voice of the Spirit speaking wherever you find yourself. Listen to the Word of God then. Listen to God's revelation. Wherever you find yourself in your life, you're weighed down, you're anxious, you're burdened, you're caught in some conflict. There's some part of your life which is unfulfilled. There's a darkness or a shadow across your life. Your inner spirit is disturbed. You know, we speak of a settled spirit, and then we speak of a conflicted or broken spirit, a disturbed spirit. Perhaps your spirit is disturbed. Perhaps you're grieving. You're dealing with struggling with your illness. Perhaps you have been rejected. You've been betrayed in your life. Listen, God speaks to you in the power of the Spirit. God blesses you, reassures you, gives you the grace which you most need in your life. And therefore, the revelation of the true God speaks many voices in many cultures and in every situation of human experience. Breathe in the Spirit. Listen to the affirming embrace of God's infinite love, and only then will the Word of God come to life. Amen.